Welcome to a special episode of the Overclock ZA podcast, South Africa's most accessible consumer technology podcast. We are chatting with Akram Mohammed, CTO, Chief Technology Officer of Huawei South Africa, talking about the new Huawei Nova 8. And then my co-host, Gavin Dudley, editor of the continent's largest technology publication called Tech Magazine. Gavin, you are peppering him with some interesting stuff.
Yeah, well, I mean, Akram really is the insider. He's the ultimate insider. He knows everything about every product range. And he's, you know, he's mandated to speak to the media. So it's great to always speak to Akram. And he always has deep insights. So I appreciate that. Notwithstanding, I am something of a Huawei fanboy at this time, where I still think that they are going to be the best horse to back in creating the third smartphone platform, and that's what I'm shooting for. It's not about allegiance to their brand. It's about how they can actually bring something big and important into the world, a third mobile ecosystem. So that's why I'm really keen to speak to Akram about all that.
Yeah, let's get into it. So, hey, Akram.
How's it?
Nova 8, tell me, there are rumors about Nova 9 launching later this month. What's up? Why did Nova 8 only get to South Africa now?
So firstly, rumors are rumors and whatever you make of rumors. But for in terms of the Nova series, I think we wanted to position it as a segment like we've had P series and Mate series. Mm-hmm. P series, everybody is familiar and we have quite a bit of equity in the country as the photography flagship. Mate being the technology super user flagship. Mm-hmm. And Nova is coming in as a range where it's going to be the fashion lifestyle flagship. And of course, just like how we have Lite series in other segments, we will have, that's where the Nova Y60 fits in, and you'll perhaps have other products in different pricing segments within the category that will cater for that. So I don't think it's specifically with Nova 8 coming so late. It is that we have decided to launch and give it its, I mean, before we've had Nova's 5T, you know, you remember that. 2016, I think, was the first time we launched a Nova phone in the country. But yeah, it did not have the support and the backing from the brand as you would find the new the Nova range now. At the moment, it is an incredible, very important product series in our stable. And I think that is where you're going to see much more being done around Nova. So whether it's Nova 8, whether you're talking Nova 9 or anything else, all of those are going to come with support, whether it is from collaboration, whether it's marketing investment, whether it is after-sales service and support, all of these things. And we are establishing a brand around Nova. So I guess it's more strategic than anything else.
Okay, that's very interesting. So talk me through the three different Novas and where they fit in the market.
Well, right now there's two.
Okay.
So that's the Huawei Nova 8 as well as the Nova Y60. So those are the two that we launched on the 26th. And of course, throughout you know, the months and years to come, Nova is going to continue, like I mentioned, because it's now a very strategic focus for us. But Nova is positioned around offering a flagship-like experience. And I'm talking about whether you're looking at aesthetics and build quality, hardware quality, to user experience, but without actually breaking the bank. And also realizing that, you know, we call it a youth-focused product. Mm. But when we say youth, we're talking about more the young at heart and not specifically to group them into an age group. Because it's a lifestyle option. Where do you spend your time? What do you enjoy? I mean, you're out on weekends with friends and you need to top up your battery extremely quickly. Then you've got that 66-watt supercharge that comes from the Mate series, you know? So you're able to do that. If you held the phone and you look at it on the Nova 8 especially, that it looks a lot like a P-series device, feels like a P-series device. So the quality has been pushed up considerably. And similarly, in terms of Nova Y60, it's not like our previous generations of Y-series where you had the Y3 and Y5 Lite, and you could see a distinct difference in quality. Whereas now, this is bringing you closer towards what you come to expect from a Huawei P or a Mate series.
Yeah.
Especially around build, screen size, screen ratios, all of those kind of things. So essentially, Nova is going to be an extremely incredible offering in terms of innovation. I think that balance between value and cost. because we understand, you know, the economic times. We understand that people want to have the greatest experience and the best product possible, but not necessarily breaking the bank. So that is why we call it a lifestyle device. And I mean, if you're that person that wants to capture moments, you're that person that wants to have that exceptional battery life, you also want, I mean, it's more than a communication device now. It's an expression of yourself and your personality and lifestyle and all those things. So if you are that person, that's why we use the hashtag Nova is you, because then this represents you as a person, irrespective of age group, etc. And I think that's the thinking for Huawei, is to be able to say, how do we bridge that gap between entry, mid-segment, and then the flagship? Currently, the only option people had was our Lite series.
Yeah.
So if the P series, P40 Pro, for example, or P40 was a bit out of reach, you had to go for the P40 Lite. Where now, if you want to be able to have, you cannot go for the flagship experience. You can get as close to it as possible with some of the functionality that is available on those products, but at a better price point.
Okay. So where does this leave P Smart then in the lineup?
So P Smart also, and if you would look at it, it was very similar to what has been offered on the previous generation Lite series,
yeah. Right?
It just came with maybe a few tweaks here, maybe a different camera setup or a different design language. And then we had different value adds to be able to separate the pricing segments and the value offerings for consumers. So it gave them a bit more choice. Maybe a $50 or $100 difference on your postpaid. But a customer just has a choice. Okay, do I want a pop-up camera or do I want something else? Do I want something that has or is part of the traditional P range? So that was where P Smart sat. Whereas what you're going to find here is P Smart never really took any flagship specifications over. And you are seeing that in the Nova series, you're going to get a lot of that happening, especially on the higher end Nova range. So they will have similar processing capabilities. You will have similar camera configurations. You will have some features, like I mentioned, the supercharge that we've had 66 watts being brought over. And especially when you come to software experiences, you're going to have a lot of stuff that's traditionally exclusive to flagship now being brought on Nova. So I think Nova will be that bridge. So after P Smart and P Lite, Nova is the next step up before you get onto the flagship.
I'm a little concerned about pricing and price points, because it seems kind of improbable that a Huawei will be able to convince people to take a risk on a Huawei phone at this stage without incentivizing them in some way, maybe with a lower price. On the other hand, I do accept that you're signaling to the market that the devices you're bringing out now are every bit as good, as complete, as quality as the Huawei phones have always been. So there's no reason to sell them for less, because they're as good as they've always been. So I understand that that's the signaling to the market. But you also know that South Africa is particularly price sensitive and very risk averse, because for many people, they're outlaying money on something. It's a lot of money for a typical South African. I'm just wondering if there's a specific philosophy or thinking around how you're going to be pricing going forward, because what I've noticed is that even as market share has plummeted, pricing is not gone down. Pricing has remained level, and I understand why. I'm just asking philosophically if you don't think pricing might be a factor in how you guys are going to recover in the market.
So there's a couple points that needs to be addressed with your specific question, and I will handle them one at a time.
Sure.
So the first aspect around trying to convince the South African user that, you know, this is as good, etc. I'm being completely transparent here. And if you are considering and you are taking data and stats and looking at what's happening globally, then by all means, I think your question is a very valid one. But in a South African context, and we are specifically speaking right now today about the new Nova series, when we launched Nova series for first sales on the 1st of September, in fact, we shot ourselves in the foot by, you know, in terms of our estimations and the stock we had available in various channels. We sold out within 2 days. Mm-hmm. Our current share in South Africa is not plummeting. What's happening is that, and this has affected across the board for all OEMs, is that certain product segments, and specifically your flagship range, yes, it is indeed true that we do not hold and command the same market share that we did 2 years ago. And this is for various reasons, including the US restrictions, the lack of Google services, but also supply chain and the pandemic. And this is something that the likes of the Samsungs and the Apples of the world also went through. So when you look at the overall picture and the volumes changing, especially on the slightly higher end, a lot had to do with certain amount of stock not being available or certain products not being released in time, rather than a demand and a consumer perception that Huawei is no longer good enough or not longer a viable option. Mm-hmm. So where we are sitting right now in the South African market, we are still in the top three. And in fact, in the top three, which was traditionally been there, which was Apple, Samsung, Huawei, and Apple. And we know when it comes to Q4 and Apple's releases every year, they usually take over for a period of time because that's their launch cycles and that's where they push the volumes and then it goes back. And that is the case as we speak now. But we are talking about in the mid to high end. Huawei, once again, as we used to be, we know we don't really make sub 2,000 Rand devices, so we can't compete with the likes of a Mobicell. So when I talk to you about market share, it'll be very unfair to look at the entire market and say, well, you know what, actually, Mobicell is a number one, or Tecno, or whoever for that matter, because we don't play in that space.
Tell him, Akram.
Lindsay's just encouraging you to give it a stick. Yeah, he's backing your strategy.
You see, the truth of the matter is that our main focus or where we are dominant in the market is in the operator space. And the operator in South Africa controls 70% of the value devices in the market, where 70% of the volume, on the other hand, comes from open channel. So in the operator market, Huawei is a solid number two. And there's no doubt about that, and that hasn't changed. So that is just to provide some context in terms of customer interest and appeal. Yeah. Beyond that, in terms of the app ecosystem, I'll be lying to you if I said there's no issues. And you know what, we are offering exactly the same experience. That's not true. But what we are doing is, and we have to be open and realistic about it, is there's no way possible for us to do exactly the same thing that took Google and Apple a decade to achieve. Mm-hmm. But what is priority for us, and what is very important to be able to say, that consumer experience that we are trying to offer and ensuring that they have the vital apps and services. Yes, we have over a million applications, but Google has 3 million. But how many do users actually use on a daily basis? On average, somebody might have 15 to 20 that are deal breakers if they don't have them. And beyond that, even if you have 100 apps, I don't know a single person myself that will use 100 apps on a daily basis. But we can't go in blindly and say those are not important. So our strategy was to take our global go-to-market plan, which was build app gallery, get all these apps onboarded, and then we customized it specifically for the South African user, which is very different to what other countries, especially in Europe, etc., did. So we tried to identify what's important for South Africans: social media, financial services and lifestyle and insurance, travel and leisure, e-commerce, entertainment streaming, and we put a list of applications that are absolute must have. And as we speak to you today, when we launched that strategy and we had this list of applications, including the global ones, we are sitting on a 99% achievement rate, which means available and functional to use on Huawei phones.
Yeah.
Now, what is the difference is that, yes, there is a bit of a learning curve and there's a lot Huawei needs to do from an education perspective. So it's not necessarily that a function is not available or will not work, or an app is not available. But similar, it's although we still Android, it's a similar experience when you move from Android to iOS. You have now an Apple ID, so now you got a Huawei ID. You might need to log in differently. You might have to find it from a different source than the Google Play Store. Or you might need to use Petal Search, you know, in that instance. Huawei has launched Petal Maps as our mapping and navigation solution, which the customer will use now over Google Maps, perhaps, but we've added a few more features and functionality. So indeed, there is certainly a learning curve that people need to be aware of, and we are doing a lot. But with that, and considering that more than 45%, as we speak today, of Huawei's total sales in the country represent HMS devices and not GMS devices. The fact that I just mentioned to you right now that we are still in the top two, That will tell you it's a considerable amount without me giving you the actual number. And this is on a monthly basis. So it's a considerable amount. And out of that considerable amount, we have a 0.05% return rate regarding apps and HMS.
Okay. All right. Let me jump in there. As usual, my questions are kind of long-winded and they start off as statements and end up as questions, but here it comes anyway. Two things. A year ago, I don't think you were really competing with Xiaomi in South Africa. Today, you are dealing with them full on and they are busy ramping up their presence. I'm sure you're aware of this. And for them, it's a price game. So, you know, they are looking to grow their brand as quickly as they can. Obviously, they're throwing money at that, and it's a brand South Africans don't know. But my concern is that if they are going to fight on price, as they have done, and they've conquered global markets based on price, whether they won't achieve greater success in South Africa with that strategy. I don't necessarily need you to respond to that. But my point is that I think you're dealing with a whole lot more competitors, especially in South Africa, at this time than you were a year ago, and a whole lot more than you were 2 years ago when all the trouble started. So, you know, one senses that the environment is becoming more and more embattled with big brands that you're competing with directly, brands as big as Huawei, you know. So it's not like the environment is the same as it was a year ago. But that's more of a statement than anything else. You can respond if you want, but I want to move on to something else. The App Gallery. Now, I've been a big fan of Huawei emerging as the third possible ecosystem. Been a big fan of that idea. I just think philosophically, that's what's important for the mobile market. Now, two things are worrying me in here. One is that while the App Gallery experience has improved a lot, I like things like the seamless handoff to third-party APK sites, and then the messaging to the consumer about this is safe to download, we've checked it, you can use it. You know, I think those are small things that have been added to the App Gallery experience over the last year. But I do sense things have kind of slowed down at some point. There are some key apps that I'm still being handed off to third parties for. I think WhatsApp is one of them. I think Facebook is one of them. I don't think those are natively in the App Gallery. So I'm just looking at this from the perspective of the mainstream South African consumer and wondering when those apps will be in the App Gallery in the first place, because as we know, that was the death knell for Microsoft's mobile offering. There may have been lots of reasons, but most people believe it was that they didn't have the most important apps in the App Store when they were trying to make a go of it. So, one, when will you have all the key apps native? I hear that you're working on that. But even more important and more interesting from my perspective, if you're going to build the third platform, which is what I'm holding out for and hoping for and have given Huawei the benefit of the doubt for, when is Harmony actually going to get here? Because we've received multiple dates on this. The first date I remember was March, then it was April, then it was June. And, you know, we're just not seeing any go forward on this. We're not seeing any leaks about what's going on. And I think that that surely will be integral to the success of Huawei going forward in every country, not just South Africa. So can you commit to a date at this time for Harmony, or where are we on that?
Okay. Thank you.
Sorry, I know that was a big download.
So that's a lot of statements / questions.
Yeah, sorry about that. I just needed to get it all off my chest. You know, we've been waiting over a week for this call. Wow. So. Okay. All right, cool. Thanks.
All right, so I would like to address the first one because it goes back to the first question that I was answering about pricing as well. Just to provide context, so when we are talking about pricing, and you did mention that, you know, Huawei is not adjusting, are we thinking about the South African consumer? It's indeed the fact that we are thinking of the South African consumer that we decided to launch the Nova series. Because if you compare a P40, P40 Pro Mate series, which is usually 20,000 plus or 18,000 plus, you're now getting the Nova 8 coming in at 10,999. Now, whilst you might say this is still out of reach for some guys, you take this device in a market that directly competes with one of the new entrants you mentioned. It's a very similar specification device, but theirs is 14,999. We have it at 10,999. Beyond that, we still have a value offering on the Nova Y60 at just 3,099. So we are trying our level best to touch the different price points. Unfortunately, as for any business, if you only fight the pricing game, you're going down a very dangerous road. So we are not blinded towards the circumstances and the economic circumstances in the country. We are certainly saying that we're trying to find solutions for that. But in order to maintain quality, in order to ensure that you're offering something, I mean, as I told Lindsay earlier on, we moved from the Y3, Y3 Lite, Y5 Lite, which were actually the devices that you would expect to see at a PEP stores, etc., that are sub 2000, to now a Nova Y60, where when you hold this device, you get the feeling of, you know what, this is much better quality than what you expect from a traditional Y series, but still at an accessible price point of just over 3,000 Rand. So from a pricing perspective, I think we are doing quite a bit. When it comes to whether we are going to remain competitive and in the market, what we need to understand is that, yes, Huawei spoke a lot about in the past through our successes that we are doing so well. Eventually, we're looking at number one spot and etc. You know, circumstances over the last 2 years has changed considerably. So we are not really looking at chasing market share. So if these guys come into the market and they capture certain price points that we don't play in, but we did not compete in every single price band. There was a time when we also decided consciously to remove ourselves from the Y series market. This was a conscious decision we made, and we lost market share at that time. But because we were not satisfied as South Africa, as Huawei South Africa, with the quality of those Y series devices, we made that conscious decision. So right now we are saying which segments we are strong in, which ones can we provide true quality and experience to the customers, and that's what we're going to focus on. And I believe there is sufficient space for everybody. But also, I also understand from experience that the South African market is a very challenging one. And especially for a new brand, you might be able to gain market share. But in doing that, this is a very, very, very expensive business to be in. It requires huge investment, whether that is from a service offering, whether it is from your marketing, whether it is from upliftment and investment in the country for infrastructure or everything like that. And when you consider all of these things and then price points that certain companies come out at, is it actually financially viable and will they be around for a long time? I'm not saying that they are too small. I'm saying, does it make business sense to invest in an African territory with this much investment just to chase market share? Some businesses might make that decision, but it is a long-term thing and you build a brand, and Huawei has learned from that. You know, when I started 7 years ago, only 20% of our sales came from the mid to high end. 80% was in the entry level. Today, 7 years later, 80% of our business is in the mid to high end. We are considered a premium brand, and the fact of the matter is Huawei sells more premium devices in South Africa than Apple does.
Yeah.
So this is an incredible, incredible achievement. And I think whilst, yes, those the other companies and new entrants will certainly have their market and there will be supporters. And like I said, I wish they do incredibly well and they'll be here for some time. But it's not going to be as easy where a lot of people think that they will unseat Huawei in a very short space of time. I think that's a bit of a reach in that regard. And when it comes to the app gallery and the entire app ecosystem and what we are doing, you know, again, it was all about user experience and there are some gaps. So Gavin, regarding the native applications, for example, WhatsApp, etc., because of the political situation, Huawei can't have, and unfortunately, we'd love for it to be removed or for it to be different, but it's not business, it's politics. So we cannot engage with the US companies on this, but what we have done is we've provided viable solutions or alternatives. So, for example, WhatsApp, it is available on App Gallery. It's just not loaded in App Gallery because we can't take the app from WhatsApp or register them as a developer and they load it on. Or for Facebook, who owns WhatsApp for that matter. So what we have is we have a link that is embedded in App Gallery directly from the web page that belongs to WhatsApp and Facebook themselves. So the app is updated constantly. It is the actual app. It's not from a third-party app repository.
Yeah.
It's coming from the actual main source. But when a customer goes into App Gallery, our user, all he's got to do is search for it. When he clicks install, it'll directly install. It will not take him to a different web page. So it it is structured to seem like a native experience. It's just that the source of the app is from somewhere else. And then we will also, like you said, do the verification and the malware checks and everything. So our priority now is actually, I would have to say that has totally worked for me.
Yeah, that business has worked for me, where it seems kind of seamless, even though I know what to look for, so I know I'm being handed off to a third party. But I have to say, yes, to the untrained eye, it all just looks like a gallery. So that's very impressive, I must say. Mm. Sorry, do continue.
And we're going to try improve that. And I'm glad you've seen that. We're going to try improve that as it goes along. But so there's certainly learnings. There's certainly stuff we've picked up that perhaps we've done wrong, going through it. And one thing I always say to Shlengiwe, when I speak to our media colleagues, and I'm sitting and chatting to you guys, it's not only that we got to talk about the good things, we need to take where we are bad and we need to learn from that. So I'm glad that you're bringing all this, because we are able to then identify the gaps, because ultimately we want to provide a viable solution and not just a marketing option. Mm-hmm. We need to provide a viable solution that's going to be beneficial to our users, and that's exactly what we're trying to do. But we also need time, and we need to be able to spend that time to optimize and to improve. And we've done a considerable amount now, but you're going to see more improvements going forward. And to your final question regarding Harmony and where that's going to go, when we launched HMS, we launched everything else that was going with HMS. The whole view is to this bigger picture of a fully connected, seamless environment, multiple devices, and of course, Harmony being for IoT and connected smart experiences is the ideal solution for that environment. It's still part of the plans. You would notice that, and I'm not sure if you watched the Global Harmony 2.0 release and announcement when that happened. They spoke about super device and smart collaboration across multiple options. So you can use hardware from your PC or your smart screen or your phone and switch between them seamlessly with the Huawei ID. Now, this has already been incorporated into EMUI. So when you're getting EMUI 12 and above with some of our new devices that are launching, these experiences are already there. However, I can only speak on behalf of South Africa, right? And when it comes to Harmony or various other platforms or the strategy and timelines, unfortunately, those decisions are taken globally. All I can tell you is that South Africa is still considered a tier one country, has been and still is, for Huawei globally. We actually have the number one awareness and also the number one performance in terms of multiple segments, whether it's audio, PC, wearables, IoT, and our smartphone categories, much higher than even Europe. So it's a priority country for Huawei. And once Global makes that decision, of course, we will be on that list. I do understand we've had various announcements and dates and so forth. But, please, I hope this is sufficient. Please bear with me. I'm just not at liberty to talk about Global. It could, it's a bit above my pay grade, put it that way.
Okay. Well, then I'm afraid I have to throw in one more awkward question. I'm hoping Lindsay's going to throw in some decent questions at some point. All I've got are issues for discussion. So as you're aware, I've been a big advocate of Huawei as the best possible player to be building the third phone ecosystem. And you've given us a lot of pointers for how that's going. I'm trying to remain patient for while they get the Harmony Act sorted out. And I'm starting to understand what you're saying about Harmony. It's more about IoT. It's not necessarily about phone operating system. It's how everything comes together. So I'm with you on all that. Now I have the complex question that comes in at the end of the statement. If tomorrow they reverse the Google ban, what do you think Huawei is going to do going forward? Okay, now you're halfway down the road of building the third platform. But for the sake of recovery and market share, you could revert back to where you were. What do you think would be the end game for Huawei? Are they going to back themselves to go forward alone, or are they just going to go back to the comfort zone of where they were?
Harmony is not going anywhere. HMS is not going anywhere. That is a long-term strategy. Mm-hmm. If we see what has happened with regards to the 2019 US restrictions, and since then to now, how much aggressively it's been enforced. It took us by surprise. Not by surprise that we never thought, this could possibly ever happen, but not to the scale and the aggressiveness that it was. Mm-hmm. And I guess for a large company like Huawei, you sit back and you think, listen, guys, we are a business. We are not a nation. And if this could happen, do you open yourself up to that again?
Yeah.
But also, So at what risk and what do you sacrifice? I mean, your customers, your not just your business, but the user base that we now have to. So there's too much of work, too much of investment, too much of R&D. My personal experience as well, you know, and I get what you guys are saying, is that sometimes certain things are not ideal.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's no doubt it's not ideal. I mean, we would have loved for it to be different. But again, it's a work in progress that's achieved so much in a short space. Given more time, can you imagine the opportunity? And customers will have another option and a viable option at that. So that's what we are building. We are building for the future. And you are seeing that starting now with the expansion of even our hardware ecosystem and more stuff coming in so they can be able to integrate and communicate with each other. I mean, when I first started, right in 2019, when we started with HMS, I'll be honest, I felt it difficult. And but that is important because those difficulties that I experienced and the apps that I could not access or services, you know, I personally will highlight and then we'll listen to consumers and then we go and find a solution and try to fix that. So it's very important to find those gaps and see how we can be able to improve. So I completely understand where you guys are coming from. But the importance and the priority is for us to fix those key things. I mean, like the Google suite of applications. You might not have the Google UI and you can't have Gmail as an application,
yeah,
but you most certainly can have Gmail and your Google Calendar synchronized into Outlook.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah. You know, that's something that can work. So similarly with the other Google services, we do have alternatives and these are the things we need to provide and just make it compelling enough, but also with a value offering in terms of the experience and the benefit to the user. So whether you're using App Gallery and there's a gamification aspect to it, whether there's additional value for downloading from App Gallery, one stat that I need to mention with you, to you guys at this point is that App Gallery is also available and has been available to GMS phones on Huawei user base for quite some time. So even if you have access to Google Play Store on your P30 Pro, you still have App Gallery. It's just not front and center.
Yeah.
Currently, on our total numbers in terms of users, active users on App Gallery, just over 33% of those users are GMS users who have the option. And I think this is a very important stat because they have access to Google Play Store, but they choose to use App Gallery. And this is very, very important and encouraging as well.
Mm. But like how it would be interesting to interrogate that data and see how much of it is like the core apps that have now been ported to App Gallery. So like the mail and the phone and the dialer and like those sorts of things that get updated through there. So there's a lot of nuances in that data set that were I a little bit more cynical on this call, I could really press on. But just go walking down this road. So what is the rollout in South Africa for Harmony OS, or are we just going to see iterations of EMUI going forward?
Like I said to Gavin, when it comes to specific, so there is certainly a plan.
Mm-hmm.
There is certainly a strategy behind it. Unfortunately, because the operating system is across multiple device segments,
yeah,
and categories, that has not been announced as yet for the South African market. Unfortunately, mm-hmm, Lindsay, I'm not at liberty to discuss that. But it's not just rollout in terms of EMUI, to answer your question. It will be much greater than that.
Okay. Yeah, because I was hoping that the Nova would be my first test, my first taste of Harmony. But yeah, like I see the strides that have been taken. It's a little bit worrying where you're still saying that South Africa remains a tier one country. But like P50 is probably still on the horizon, maybe for the end of the year. Mate was a little bit of a odd launch strategy here. And now we get Nova as the only 2020 phone that's now been launched in 2021. So I was feeling a little bit uneasy about South Africa's status within like the Huawei organization.
Oh, no. So it certainly is a tier one and the status is definitely high. I think like when you talk about whether it's Harmony, whether it is P50 series that the announcement was made globally. Outside of China, if you look at the rest of the world, there is really no other country that has managed to get that option or have it expanded and rolled out. So it's not a unique situation to South Africa. I think, and that is where I say I'm not at liberty to discuss in terms of global, but once the intention is made to go beyond the Chinese market from a global perspective, South Africa is certainly on the top of that list. It's just that those decisions are beyond a country level and has not been confirmed, or, well, some of them, it depends on what product we're talking about, have already been, and I just can't confirm it at the present moment. Okay. But when all I can say to you is, if a product is going to go global, and it's going to be released global, and that is Huawei's strategy, South Africa will be front and center.
Okay. Awesome.
Okay. That's and when it comes to the software and operating system, that's another thing, is that Harmony depends a lot on the smart collaboration and multi-device collaboration. Yeah. It's not limited to just smartphone. So it is very important. I mean, if somebody gets just a smartphone with the operating system, but they can't really capitalize and benefit from the true experience because they don't have other products that are compatible with Harmony, it doesn't make much sense. So part of that strategy and part of why we are saying just hold on is that there needs to be complementary products to go with that. And that is something that we will talk about at a later stage.
Hmm. So just returning to Nova 8, would you give your blessing if we move people wanting a new Huawei device to Nova 8 and not like P40?
I don't see why not. To be honest with you, I mean, I think it is when we brought these devices into country, like I said, the intention was to really back the Nova series and to create new experiences and make it more accessible, especially in the current economic climate and everything else that we find ourselves under. So I think there's still a space for the P40 series. And those that recognize it and the hardware capabilities that it has, especially from a photography perspective, there is still an audience and a market for that. And if you guys are saying to people from an entire package and value proposition, you believe that the Nova 8 is the best option with Huawei right now, I don't see why not.
Okay. No, that's cool. Any like closing remarks that you have on, because like I see your ad campaigns and everything, you're pouring a lot behind Nova, and where do you see this taking Huawei South Africa?
I think it's taking us and getting us recognized a little bit more in terms of understanding South Africans. And the people of South Africa, every market is different. You know, I remember a few years back when we were recognized as the cheap entry level guys, you know, and people knew us more for our modems and our smartphones.
Yeah.
It took a lot of work for us to establish to become recognized as a tier one brand. That has a lot to do with the trust and confidence that South Africans have placed into us. But it also is testament to the fact that we went global. We didn't just take this Chinese multinational and just try and come and force it down in South Africa, but whether it is from our marketing collaborations to our marketing spend, our communication, we really try to look at what is important for the South African user. Where do they spend their time? Where do they spend their money? Where do they study at? Where do they party at? And you know, we try to give them experiences or create experiences that mean something. And I think this also with the new Nova series, you would notice this is one of the reasons for our collaboration with Batu. We mentioned a lot before, and especially when we started off with our new ecosystem, about empowering local app developers and local businesses. But it does not just stop at app development and local businesses, where it only brings some kind of value with new options and software options for Huawei. We also really wanted to look at, through these collaborations, how could we take local brands, irrespective of which industry or category they fall under, but through the association, through these collaborations, we help empower them. And this is one of the reasons why we also went with Batu as a, but at the same time, their target audience and the people they speak into is exactly ours. So we are also, by collaborating, we now got this unique custom sneaker that we put in, and it becomes a lifestyle element that we are adding on. So we are thinking more about just technology, but how can technology be complementary to all other aspects of your life? And I think this is critical for the success of any brand.
Awesome. That's quite an answer. Thank you very much for your time, Akram. I'm done. Gavin, do you have a couple other questions?
I was going to throw in what, you know, in retrospect appears to be a silly question, but I'll throw it in anyway just to hear. Folding phone. I was kind of backing your folding phone design. I quite liked it. And we've heard nothing for the last 2 years. Obviously, you've got much bigger fish to fry. You've got a lot of problems to overcome. I'm just wondering if you've heard anything more on folding phone on your side.
I certainly have a lot. I'm very familiar with the entire foldable strategy.
But that's all I'm saying. Because we hear nothing. Okay. Fine.
Yeah. No. The thing is, Gav. It goes back to what you started off, and then also with the circumstances, then lockdown, pandemic, supply chain issues, economic issues. You started off by saying, would people still go on and purchase a Huawei at a certain price point? Mm. Now you're talking about a folding phone that goes into a completely different price category altogether. Mm-hmm. So, it'll be going against everything I just spoke to you about. In terms of what we were thinking of when we launched Nova series in the current climate. So it's something we got to think really carefully and align our strategy with. That does not mean that foldables is not on the radar for the South African market. I think we just need to really see, with everything that's happening and the data that we have right now, the right timing, and also in terms of availability and supply and all of that. Because when we launch something, you want to make sure that it is viable and there's sufficient. Now, when the Mate X2 was launched, It was an incredible device, but a decision was made globally to keep that exclusively to Chinese market. Mm-hmm. That's a decision Huawei made. And they did that because whenever one of these type of devices launch, they completely sell out in a couple hours. In the home market of China. And that has been traditionally for a few years. Now, when this product launched, it was in the midst and in the heart of the COVID pandemic, which strained global supply chains from a component perspective, etc. So it would not have been possible to make it a global release, because it's just not viable from a supply perspective. So that at that point, that decision was made at global. That does not mean that in future there is no foldable strategy, because as supply constraints ease up and become easier and things change, of course, there will be some movement in that area.
No, I think that's a great answer. It's good to know that they haven't sort of taken their eye off that ball. That's great. Yeah.
No, I think the future lies in that area. Perhaps it will evolve, and everybody's trying. You now got some manufacturers that are on third generation.
Yeah.
All of this at some point is going to have a real real world use case for consumers, and at that point, I think Huawei will definitely be one of the front runners in that category.
Yes.
Cool. It's just now we need to prioritize what our focus areas are.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you very much for your time again. Okay.
No problem. It's always a pleasure, gentlemen. And hopefully the next time we can meet in person again.
Yeah, yes. Soon.
Yes, that was a quite insightful conversation there, Gavin. What did you learn? What do you know about it? What do you know about Huawei's strategy now?
A little bit more. I'm pleased that they haven't taken their eye off the ball on folding phones. We know that folding phones are not going to be mainstream for a while, but I'm glad that they haven't just completely walked away from that. And I accept their strategy around how to position their products in the market and pricing thereof and so on. I'm skeptical that they haven't seen big drop-off in their market share. I'm skeptical about that. But, that's what they say. They're still a top three, or is it number two provider?
Number two. Solid number two.
Behind Samsung, obviously. Yeah. So, I mean, that's very impressive if they've managed to hang on to that position. And Akram also pointed out that the returns of Huawei phones coming back to shops are very, very low. In other words, people take them and they find a way to work with them and it works out for them. So that's great. I think Huawei is a long way from dead. I think Huawei is going to have a serious comeback, and I'm hoping I'm going to be there for that.
Yeah, no, proof of life is always good to see. We did learn, if you read between the lines, there was some whisperings of P50 coming later. There's whisperings of Harmony OS coming later. They want to build out that ecosystem. So I think the next local Huawei event is going to be a big one with many different devices. But that's pretty much it. Now you know what's up with the Nova 8, what's up with Huawei South Africa. And I will chat to you tomorrow.
Yes, we'll do the full job tomorrow.
Cool.
Okay. Excellent. Over and out. Cheers, man.
Cheers.